Well, good morning and welcome to Ebenezer Baptist Church of Buckley Online. This is Pastor Richie. If you have your Bibles today, open them to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. And we're going to be looking at verses 30 through 40. Hebrews 11, verses 30 through 40. As we continue in our study on having a foundational faith. And in doing so today, we're going to see by faith, we can see obstacles and turn them into opportunities. By faith, we're going to learn how to face our giants. Let me ask you today, when adversity in life strikes, what is our typical response? How do we typically respond when difficulty comes? Do we have a tendency to go into immediate panic mode? Do we find ourselves overcome with worry, anxiety, fear? Do the trials have a tendency to cause us to question, maybe even doubt God and His ability to help? Again, how do we face the giants in life? Through what lens are we choosing to look at the adversity that we face? Do we see the trials of our faith as obstacles, or do we see them as opportunities? You know, not long into our lockdown, I was on a Zoom meeting with missionaries and pastors from all over the world. And we were sharing the current status of where our countries were concerning COVID-19. And a pastor friend of mine from the state of Texas and the United States, he said something that immediately brought things into perspective for me. In reference to all the trials and the turmoil that we were all facing, he said, we can face the adversity by either viewing everything as an obstacle or an opportunity. And that statement is so true. It's all about perspective and how we choose to face the giants in life. We can choose to face the adversity by fear or by faith. And today, as we take the time to look at Hebrews chapter number 11, verses 30 through 40, we're going to see time and time again how that those that have run the race of faith before us chose to face their giants by faith. And they were able to overcome. They turned their obstacles into opportunities by faith. Again, Hebrews chapter number 11, we're going to begin reading in verse number 30 down through verse 40. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. That word aliens means outsiders. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was never worthy. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, as we've discovered so clearly in our study on having a foundational faith found here in Hebrews 11, we find that for the believer, faith is absolutely everything. It is essential. In verse number 6 of Hebrews 11, the Bible tells us that without it, we simply cannot please God. And so the Spirit of God wants us to recognize in this chapter the tremendous importance and significance of faith. And in doing so, we come to understand what this term of such significance to the Christian really means. If you remember all the way back to the beginning of our study, back in verses 1 through 3, we dissected and we defined the term faith. And quickly we learned that faith is simply trusting God completely in what He says with no conditions, with no reservations. Faith is taking God at His word and acting on it. Simply put, faith means this. We talk about the acronym faith. Forsaking all, I trust Him. I know you're listening this morning or this afternoon or this evening or whenever you are listening, and I want you to say that with me again. I want you to understand this word faith, and I want you to solidify this in your mind, what the word faith means. Again, say it with me. Faith, forsaking all, I trust him. Say it again. Forsaking all, I trust him. And that's what faith really amounts to. True faith doesn't need to ask questions. It doesn't get caught up in the whys or the why nots or even the why me's. It simply believes and trusts what God says because he's God, and because he said it, then that settles it. A true Bible faith is obedient. All throughout throughout chapter 11, the Holy Spirit is saying, faith means God says it, I do it wholeheartedly and totally, and time again, we've seen this modeled so powerfully by the great heroes of faith found in this chapter. Again, forsaking all, they trusted him. You know, in his book entitled, Your God is Too Small by J.B. Phillips, again, the book entitled, Your God is Too Small by J.B. Phillips, he challenges his readers to consider how big their God really is. And he concludes that a person's faith is simply and only based on a person's attitude toward God. He says, if you have a little tiny God, don't trust him because he's not verified in your mind. People who do not trust God, listen, have the wrong God. People who really know who God is, then they have no reason to do anything but to trust him totally. And the reason these people that we read about in Hebrews 11 trusted him is because they had the right view of who God is. They had the right attitude toward God. Let me ask you today, how big is your God? How big is your God? Is your God the God of the impossible? Because listen, the bigger the God, the more you trust him. It's a simple yet profound principle. And listen to me, there is only one God, Almighty God, the creator and the sustainer of this universe. These heroes of the faith that we've learned about here in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews had such a lofty and exalted knowledge of God. They saw him as sovereign. They saw him as one in complete control. They saw him as one loving unconditionally, as a covenant-keeping, faithful God. Again, the God of the impossible, a God that keeps his promises. They took him at his very word, and they banked their life on it. They, by faith, did as God said to do, simply because God said it, and that settled it. Now, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit wanted the audience that Paul was speaking to then, as well as to us today, to believe and receive. God's prescribed plan has and always has been and always will be by faith. But the question was and is, faith in who or faith in what? Well, Paul cleared up the confusion by making it known that God's prescribed plan is found in none other than his very Son, Jesus Christ. And so all the way, all throughout the book of Hebrews, Paul keeps saying, listen, come to Christ. Christ has made the way possible. Don't stop short. Put your total faith and trust in him. The old covenant, it's over with. It's time to cut ties and launch out by faith in Jesus. Now, getting back to Hebrews 11, we've learned a lot about faith in this chapter. Oh my goodness, it's been the amount of information we've learned about faith. We've seen the worship of faith in the life of Abel in verse number 4. We looked at the walk of faith and the life of Enoch in verses 5 and 6. We looked at the work of faith by Noah in verse number 7. The wellspring of faith in the life of Abraham in verses 8 through 19. We saw how faith wins in the face of death in the lives of Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph in verses 20 through 22, as well as the wisdom of faith when making difficult decisions, as we studied in the life of Moses in verses 23 through 29. Well, today, we come to verses 30 through 40, and in doing so, we're going to discover the wealth of faith, the wealth of faith displayed by some of the greatest heroes of faith, and how by it, we can face obstacles and turn them into opportunities. We can face our giants by faith. Now listen, the true test of faith is courage. The true test of faith is courage. Faith that is exhibited in the face of disaster, trial, tribulation, and trouble really proves the legitimacy of it. True faith at its high point is courageous. And as we study out these verses, we will discover how faith can help us do three things. We're going to find that this passage, that our faith can help us do three things. The first thing it's going to help us to do is to conquer and struggle. Our faith can help us conquer and struggle. Not only that, it's going to help us to continue in suffering. And the third thing that we're going to discover about our faith, it can help us to count on salvation. Again, conquer and struggle, continue in suffering, and count on salvation. And today, we're going to look at how our faith can help us conquer in struggle in verses 30 through 34. Now, first of all, faith at its apex has the courage to conquer and struggle. Now, life is and always has been a struggle for the believer. Because if you remember, we're only sojourners. We are foreigners passing through this thing called life. And our permanent home is not here. Instead, it's in heaven. For the believer, we understand that this life and all that the world offers is only temporary. And we're living for and we're looking to eternity in heaven, where the Bible says moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves cannot break through and steal. Our treasure, as Jesus so powerfully put it, is in heaven. And since we live our life for eternity and not for the temporary of this world, we face struggles. And the only thing we really have to meet struggle with is our faith in God. In order to illustrate that, Paul begins here with a story of faith that conquered in the struggle by referring to the walls of Jericho in verse number 30. Look at, again, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 30. He says again, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now, for those who may not be familiar with where this event is found in Scripture, or even who this passage is referring to, this is an event that actually took place back in the book of Joshua, which is the sixth book of the Old Testament. So you go back to the book of Joshua, and if you want to, you can go ahead and turn there if you like to, because we're going to be looking at that passage here in just a little bit. But again, Joshua chapter number 6. And in the book of Joshua, what we witness in this man's life is the call of God on the life of Joshua to take the mantle of leadership from Moses. Moses passes the mantle of leadership to Joshua, and Joshua is called on to lead God's people into the promised land. Well, not long into their journey, they encounter the highly fortified city of Jericho that was well known for its massive and impenetrable walls. Now, these walls mentioned have to do with the outer walls. These are massive walls. And history records that these walls were so wide and so, again, impenetrable, they could have chariot races side by side along these walls. Again, these walls were massive, and they secured this city. Jericho was a frontier fortress. It was set up by the Canaanites to really defend the land. It was just across the Jordan. It was strategically set up there across the Jordan. And God led the nation of Israel. If you go back to the book of Joshua and you begin to study it out, Joshua is just a tremendous book on overcoming massive obstacles by faith. And as soon as they were coming into the promised land, they faced the Jordan. That was the first obstacle they had to overcome. And the Bible says that the waters were outside the banks. It was during the time of harvest, so the Jordan was flooded. And God literally parted the Jordan just as he did the Red Sea. And he led the people of Israel across the Jordan on dry ground. And again, they came to the city of Jericho. Now, the account of the fall of Jericho and the walls of Jericho is found again in Joshua chapter 6. And so to better appreciate that, let's look there. Let's look at this passage of Scripture, and let's just see some of the things that we can take from this passage and the life of Joshua and the people of Israel as they faced the walls of Jericho, and how their faith turned their obstacles into opportunities. Now, in verse 1 through 2, we read here in Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 through 2, the Bible says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." Now the Israelites, again, they had just crossed the flooded Jordan on dry ground. If you can only imagine being on top of these walls and looking out, and you could see the Jordan, all of a sudden you see it part and you watch this people group come across on dry ground. Again, that in itself would terrify me, and obviously it terrified the people there because the Bible says they wouldn't even come out. Now the Israelites, again, they had crossed this Jordan and they overcame it by faith. And in doing so, God was preparing them. God was preparing them for the next test, and that would be the city of Jericho. Now, Jericho, again, was the gateway to the promised land. And so they had to have it. There was no way around it. They could not bypass Jericho. They had to overcome it. And so these next few verses, God communicates his plan to Joshua as to how this is going to happen. Look at verses 3 through 5. He says, "And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of that city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend upon every man straight before them. And so God says, listen, line everybody up, get everybody together, get everybody ready, put the priest out in front with the ark. Now it's interesting, as you study at the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant actually represented the very presence of God. So God is going to lead them. God is going to go before them. Again, this is his battle, his battle. He's going to fight for them. And he says, walk around that city once every day and then go back to wherever you're going to camp. Do that for 6 days in a row. And listen, don't say a single word. Don't say a single word. Then on the 7th day, walk around it 7 times. And at the end of that 7th time, blow the horns, everybody shout, the walls will come down, and the city will be yours. Could you imagine? Could you imagine the reaction of the people, especially the Bible says the men of war? Think about it. They're probably thinking to themselves that God is going to give us this great and elaborate plan, how we're going to scale these walls, and by sheer strength and willpower, we're going to overtake this city, and it's going to be one of those great stories of how we've overcome. But instead, God says, listen, here's what all I want you to do. But you don't even, just put your weapons away for right now. It's okay. All I want you to do is walk around the city for 6 days. Don't even say a word. On the 7th day, march around it 7 times. Blast the ram's horn, shout, and the city is yours. Again, could you imagine maybe the mumbling and even the grumbling throughout camp? Is Joshua kidding? Is this really the best plan that God could come up with to give us this city? And you know, it took a tremendous amount of faith, a terrific faith, to do what they did. But guess what? They did it. They obeyed God, and God turned their obstacle into an opportunity to grow their faith. But they believed God. They went there. They marched around and around and around. And finally, the 7th time on the 7th day, they took a tremendous amount of faith, but they yelled as God said to do so. And they did as God commanded. They yelled at the top of their voice. The walls came down. And that's how faith operates. Faith conquers the obstacles because it believes God and thus obeys God. Did you hear that? Faith conquers obstacles because it believes God and it obeys God. When God says, do it this way, faith says, that's right, you said it, I'll do it, that settles it. That's what faith does. Robert Moffat was a great Scottish missionary to Southern Africa. He was actually the first man to translate the Bible into Setswana, the national language there of the tribal people that he was working with. And there's a great story from his life, how he labored for many, many years among the Bakwana people. And he never saw one single convert for year after year after year. And some of the people back in England who loved him and supported his ministry, they wrote him a letter to encourage him. And they wanted to send him a present, to send him a gift, just again, let him know that they were thinking of him and praying for him. And they said, what could we get you? What would you like? What do you miss? And he wrote back a letter, and he said in a complete picture of faith, get this, of all things that he could have asked for, he said, I want a communion set. And they were shocked because there wasn't anybody that they knew of to have communion with. Well, months later, the communion set finally arrived, and guess what? In a complete picture of faith, guess what now? There were more than a dozen converted natives who sat down and shared with him the Lord's Supper. And that's faith. That's faith. And this serves, I think, as a good illustration of the Christian life. A Christian is never going to live the Christian life without ever running sooner or later into some type of Jericho in their life, some type of massive kind of obstacle. And the decision we all face when faced with such a great giant is either we can collapse and we can cower away in fear, or we can charge ahead, trust in God, and take down the walls that seem so impenetrable. And listen, if we choose by faith to do what God wants us to do and tells us to do, and we charge after that obstacle, we'll know the victory, and that obstacle will be replaced by an opportunity to be overcome by faith. Again, our faith can give us the courage to conquer in the face of struggle. There's another illustration of the kind of faith that conquers in the struggle, and it's found in the very next verse of Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 31. Again, back in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 31, again, another powerful illustration of a faith that's able to conquer in the struggles. And it says in verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Now, the illustration of Rahab is very interesting in so many ways. It shows the grace of God mightily and how a prostitute found her way into the hall of faith. And that's how God's grace works. His mercy is open to all who receive him, despite the past a person has once lived. But I want you to look at verse 31. It says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not." Them that believe not. Well, who's that? Well, this is the whole city of Jericho. You say, well, didn't they believe? I mean, what didn't they believe? Well, they didn't believe the word of the Lord. You say, well, they heard the word of the Lord? Of course they did. They knew that God had given the land to the children of Israel. Now, I don't know how they got the message, but they got it. They knew it because they rejected it. They disobeyed it. Listen, you can't disobey orders you don't have, right? They had the information. When the Bible says that they believed not, there in verse number 31, the word in the Greek is apatheo. It means literally to be disobedient. It means to be disobedient. Disobedience means that you heard a command and you didn't do it. And I believe that God had given them the word that the land was for Israel, that God was going to destroy anyone in their way, but all who turned to him in mercy would be set free, but they didn't believe him. And so as a result, they were wiped out. Everyone except, again, Rahab and her family. It says, she perished not with them that believed not. When she had received, the Bible says, the spies with peace. That word peace literally means, in the Greek, she gave them a hospitable welcome. Now, the record of this event is found in Joshua chapter number 2, or chapter 2 all the way through chapter number 6. And if you remember the story, when the spies went in to check out the land, all right, Joshua sent spies into the land of Jericho. And when they got into Jericho, they got into trouble and they had to be hidden. And they ended up in Rahab's house and she welcomed them and she was hospitable to them. And literally the Bible says she hid them in the straw up on her roof. And the authorities came and she sent them away. And ultimately she lowered them down outside her home, out her window by a scarlet cord. And she asked them to promise that her family would be spared, everyone that was in her house. And they said, we'll do that. We'll reward that if you'll put this scarlet thread outside your window. We'll see this scarlet thread and we'll know this is your home and you will be safe. You'll be secure. Well, again, she believed God. She accepted that truth she heard. And the rest of the city didn't. And God ultimately wipes out the city. God punished that city. But again, he spares this dear woman who believed. And I want you to read about this in Joshua chapter 2. Look in Joshua chapter 2, verse number 9. Joshua chapter 2, verse 9. Again, just to have a better appreciation of the life of Rahab and this great demonstration of faith. The Bible says in Joshua 2, verse 9, "And she said unto the men," listen to this. She says, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land." She said, "I believe it, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you." She's saying everybody knew God had given the land to Israel. They were all worried about it. God had given them the message somehow. She said this, and she goes, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt." Do you see that? As soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. "Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God," listen to what she says, "he is God." You know what she did when she heard these things? She put her faith in God. She believed God. She believed his word. She believed in God. And because of that, her faith delivered her and her family from utter destruction. And you know something? It took a tremendous amount of courage to do what she did. A tremendous amount of courage. And it took courage to hide the spies. And she could have lost her life. And it also took faith to believe the spies. And again, how did she know them? How did she know they would keep their word? And when they said, "I'll protect you," she said, "I'll protect you if you promise to spare me." They kept their promise. She had great courage and she had great faith. And you know something? God rewarded the harlot Rahab. You know how he rewarded her faith? Well, first of all, he rewarded her faith by salvation. We read about that in verses 22 through 25 of the book of Joshua, chapter number 6. He saved her from the wrath and the defeat of the people of her city who simply disobeyed God. And not only that, but he also rewarded her faith when she later on became, get this, We find this in the book of Ruth. She ultimately becomes the mother of Boaz. Boaz became the husband of Ruth, who we find out later is the great-great-grandmother of David, whose lineage would ultimately bring the Savior, the Messiah, Jesus, into the world. Rahab the harlot moved right into the messianic line. Again, that's God's grace. And it's a powerful picture of how God is a rewarder of them who diligently seeks Him. Despite anyone's past, God rewards them who diligently seek Him. And so He did in the life of Rahab. Now, next week, we are going to look again how we can have a faith that can turn our obstacles into opportunities to overcome as we look more events from the Word of God. But until then, and looking at the lives of Joshua and the people of Israel overcoming the great walls of Jericho, as well as the life of Rahab and how her faith and obedience delivered her and her family from destruction, we are once again reminded of how essential faith is. Simply put, they are willing to forsake all and trust Him. And in looking at these great events, I can't help but to once again be amazed by the grace of God displayed to a most unlikely recipient in the person of Rahab the harlot. Again, she was saved from the very wrath of God because she simply was willing to trust Him and obey Him. Despite her past, God, by His grace, saved her. And the same God that showed grace and mercy to Rahab is the very same God who's willing to show grace and mercy to those who are not saved today. For those who may be listening today that don't know Christ as Lord and Savior. You say, well, listen, I'm not as bad as Rahab. Why do I need to be saved? I mean, I've not done the things that she's done. I've never committed that kind of sin before. Well, though that may be true. Listen to me, we are all still guilty of sin, and thus all still deserving of the wrath of God, which is the second death. Listen to what Revelation 21 verse 8 says. Revelation 21 verse 8. Listen to what the Bible says. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers like Rahab and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Though there may be some sins on this list that I've never committed, there is one for sure that I have, and that's simply telling lies. And guess what? Guilty is charged. The consequence of the liar is the same as the whoremonger like Rahab. All sin separates us from God, and thus the only way we can be saved from this wrath is by the very grace of God. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. As we saw in the life of Rahab, it's only by God's grace that we can be saved. What about you today? Do you know for sure that your sins are forgiven? Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? Listen, if not, let me tell you how that can all change today. You too can come to Christ by faith and be saved. And again, it all begins with sin. We're all sinners. Just like Revelation 21:8, the Bible makes it very, very clear. We're all sinners. We are all guilty as charged. And we all owe a great debt, the Bible says. The wage of sin is death. What we deserve is death and hell, separation from God forever. It's what we deserve. But God loved you so much. He loved me so much that He gave His only begotten Son, the Bible says in John 3:16. He died on the cross for our sins to pay a debt that you and I owe so that we could be forgiven and know that we're going to heaven. And the Bible makes it very, very clear. If you understand that you're a sinner, you have a right picture of your sin, how it separates you from God, a God that's holy and righteous and just. If you're willing to turn from your sin, you're willing to turn from yourself, you're willing to turn to the Savior, accept what He has done. He offers you a gift, the gift of forgiveness, and He's asking you, will you accept it? And God says, if you will, if you'll simply call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't care what you've done in your past. I don't care the sin that you've been in. I don't care what you're in right now. God says, if you call upon me, I will save you. If you're ready to come to Jesus today, that can happen right now. You said, Richie, Pastor Richie, I'm ready to make that decision. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. Well, I'm going to have you do what the Bible says. Call upon the Lord. I'm going to have you repeat after me. I'm going to have you repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I need to be saved. I know that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. And He was buried and He rose again. Today, I repent of my sin, and I ask You to come into my heart and save me from my sin. Thank you for saving me. Help me to live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed and you call upon the Lord, as the Bible says today, good news is you are saved. And that word saved means forgiven. For the believer, and looking at these great examples of faith, we have seen how we can overcome the greatest obstacles by faith. Let me ask you today, are you facing your own walls of Jericho today? Something that seems so impossible, something that seems so impenetrable to overcome? Is there an obstacle in your life that God wants to turn into your opportunity? If so, it's time to trust God. It's time to obey God. And in doing so, face the adversity by faith and conquer your giant. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for your word. Thank you again for this great example that we've seen from the life of Joshua and the nation of Israel, as well as Rahab. Again, the grace that you displayed in her life. Again, we've seen today how our faith can help us conquer and struggle. Lord, I pray that we learn from these examples. We learn to trust you. Learn to realize, God, you are with us. You're very present during the battles that we encounter, Lord. And I pray that we would learn to trust you, God, that with you, nothing is impossible. God, thank you for your grace and your mercy that you show us sinners, God, that you're willing to forgive us despite our past. Lord, thank you for those that maybe even have prayed today to be saved. Lord, I pray for the Christian today, we would just live for you, we'd love you, God. And whatever it is we're facing in life, whatever adversity, whatever obstacle, God, I pray that we would see those obstacles as opportunities, God, and we would learn to face them by faith and overcome, that we'd conquer and struggle, we would defeat our giants. Thank you, God, again for your goodness to us. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you again for listening to today's sermon online, and again, how we can have a foundational faith, a faith that can overcome, a faith that can turn obstacles and opportunities. And we'll look forward to gathering together again next week around God's Word. But until then, stay encouraged, stay connected, and God bless.